Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of John, chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Amen. Well, praise God for another opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke and remind you and render all your powers null and void. And you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask in the mighty name of Jesus the Christ, the anointing one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of Genesis, chapter 2. Now, we have just finished a wonderful teaching on the ministry gifts and their purpose. And we found out that there were five ministry gifts, which consist of the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, and pastor and teacher. And now we're going to start a new teaching on a subject that I believe is so important in the body of Christ, because it is one that we all we'll have to face at some time or another in our lives, and we're going to have to make a decision of what we're going to have to do about it. So the title of this teaching will be Disobedience. Disobedience. Hard head, soft behind. So if you open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2, we're going to begin reading at verse 15 through 17. And it says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. So we see here that God took man, put him in the garden to tend and to keep it. Verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So we see here, God placed the man in the garden, and he gave him a simple commandment. He told him that he can eat freely of every tree in the garden, except the one of the knowledge of good and evil. He says, for in that day that you eat of that particular tree, you shall surely die. So God placed man Adam in the garden, and he gave him a specific commandment, not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God also told him the reason why he shouldn't eat from the tree. For in the day that you do it, you shall surely die. You know, the word of God is quite simple. You know, the Bible is an open textbook. It gives us the things that God has for us, and God gives us the answer. It's like an open book test. Amen. Because he told Adam not to eat of the tree. And then right after that, he told him the reason why, because you will surely die. So God doesn't hide anything from us per se, but he lets us know in his word what he wants for us. Amen. And he wants nothing but the best. Adam, being deceived by Eve, ate of the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God had commanded him not to eat, and sin entered into the world. Our teaching will be on disobedience. Disobedience. Now, disobedience means rebellion against recognized authority. Again, disobedience means rebellion against recognized authority. Now, we all have been disobedient in some form or another in our lives. It is a choice that one makes. You know, the scripture tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Amen. So all have been disobedient. Amen. Now, please go to the book of James, chapter 1. The book of James, chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 13 through 16. And it says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Amen. So we see here that God cannot be tempted. Amen. Not by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Amen. Now, we all go through trials, tests, and temptations, but God is not tempting us. Amen. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Verse 16, do not be deceived, my beloved brother. So God tells us, do not be deceived. And you know, it's interesting because deception can come in all type of forms. That's why the scripture tells us to study, to show ourselves approved, a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So that means you can wrongly divide the word of truth. Because see, when you rightly divide it, you will not be deceived. Now, we tend to blame on God for our disobedience. Well, God made me do it. In doing so, we avoid taking the blame for ourselves. We forget we have to look in the mirror for our failures. This is an example to manipulate God. We love to blame our environment, our genes, our traditions, or even God himself, that's right, even God himself on our disobedience. We want to transfer our responsibility to someone else. Instead of looking in the mirror, as I said earlier, and saying, I am the problem. No, we always want to put it on somebody else. There is nothing in the character of God that we can cast blame. Nothing. God was perfect in every manner. Now, Adam attempted to blame Eve for his sin. Adam blamed Eve, and Eve blamed the serpent. We had a blame game going on here. There is no place for the devil made me do it attitude. We all have messed up. We all have messed up. And we are all under construction. There is a tendency to find excuses for our disobedience. Amen. There's always an excuse instead of just going and being honest and say, I messed up, and ask God for forgiveness and get back in line with the word. No. Just like Adam blamed Eve and then Eve blamed the serpent. No. No time for the blame game. Look in that mirror and say, I messed up. Rather than shifting the blame for our disobedience on God, we must face the fact that disobedience comes from self. Amen. Disobedience comes from self. Disobedience comes from self, not God. Disobedience comes when we allow our lust to lead and entice us. Let me repeat that because that's important. It says disobedience comes from when we allow our lust to lead and entice us. Remember, the scripture tells us all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So our disobedience comes from our lust, and that lust leads to entice us. There is no disobedience without something within that is a catalyst for it. There is always a catalyst for us being disobedient. Disobedience is both internal and external. When it comes from within, it is lust. And when it comes from without, it is the temptation. Amen. The temptation. First, temptations come from within, drawn away by our desires. Drawn away by our desires. You would not succumb to temptation if there were no desires or capacity for the temptation. Amen. There's just no way that you will be tempted or disobedient. The information age in which we live, the internet, movies, cell phones, telecommunications, and all types of print media presents great temptations for the believer. You know, the scripture tells us that Satan is the god of this world. So he controls all these mediums, and he's able to put in deception that will fool you if you're not careful. Again, that's why it says study to show yourself approved. See, lust comes changing into our minds or charging into our minds through these vehicles. He uses these vehicles because he's the god of the air, the airwaves. It comes unexpectedly and quickly. That is why we must guard against disobedience by first preparing our minds with the word of God. Amen. Preparing our minds with the word of God. That's why the scripture tells us, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, what? By the renewing of our minds. Our minds had to be renewed by the word of God, because the word of God is true. Amen. That's why God sent us another helper. Right. another person that will guide us, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth. Hallelujah. Now, I have 3 points for this teaching on disobedience. 3 points that we're going to cover and look at over the course of time in this teaching. Point number one is, what causes one to be disobedient? What causes one to be disobedient? God has given each one of us a free will to make our own decisions, whether good or bad. But we're going to chase this question. Well, what causes one to be disobedient? And I think you'll find it very interesting what we find out. Point number two, what are the consequences for one's disobedience? What are the consequences for one's disobedience? You know, the choices you make are long-lasting and life-changing. Amen. The choice you make is going to be long-lasting and life-changing. So that's why you got to be sure that when you make your decision, that your election is sure, that it lines up with the Word of God. Amen. And then third, how to refrain from being disobedient. How to refrain from being disobedient. All the answers for these questions are found in the Word of God, and we're going to chase these questions, and we're going to present the answers to you. Amen. And I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised. So how to refrain from being disobedient? We want to understand the true character of confidence in refraining from disobedience. That's the true Christian. Amen. What causes the person to be disobedient? That is our point number one. What causes the person to be disobedient? Well, open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. We have to go to the beginning so we can find out where we have to end up at. So Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 26 through 28. And it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness." So number one, God said, let us make man. And this is mankind. He says, after our image and after our likeness. So the original plan God had for mankind was to be made after his image and after his likeness. And then it says, and let them, who? Mankind, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So it says, let them. So when he says, let them, mankind, male and female, let them have dominion. So God gave us dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over all the livestock that's on the earth, and over creeping things that creep on the earth. So we have dominion over creeps. But look in this scripture. There's one thing that God did not give man dominion over, and that was other men. Amen. He didn't give us dominion over other men. Amen. Verse 27. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Amen. Now, verse 28 is very important because it says it, God blessed them. So the blessings upon mankind came from the beginning. Amen. We were blessed from the jump street. It says, and God blessed them. And he said to them, he says, be something, and that was to be fruitful and to multiply and to replenish the earth. Amen. God was speaking his life plan for mankind, created in his own image to be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, and to subdue it. He told mankind to rule over the fish, the birds, and every living thing that moves on the earth, with the exception of man. Man was never, ever to rule over man. So I don't know where all the slavery business came from, and men were supposed to put man in some type of captivity. That was not the plan of God. Amen? But what God did give mankind was a free will. Amen. A free will. A free moral agency with the ability to choose to make his own choices in life. That's what God gave to man. Amen. He gave us a free will to make our own choices, whether good or bad. But he gave that choice to us. Amen. Now, if you are still in Genesis, go to chapter number 2. Genesis chapter number 2. And we're going to read verses 15 through 17. And it says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tilt it and to keep it." So we see here that God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to do what? To tilt it and to keep it. So he gave him an assignment from the beginning. He gave him an assignment to take care of the garden. Amen. Verse 16. "And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die." Now I want you to notice something here. That God gave man a choice to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but it was man's choice to do so. In other words, God did not make him. It was his choice. We were not puppets on a string where God dangled us and we did what he says, you know, by his commandments. No, we made a choice. We had a choice to do what we want to do. Now, let's go to Genesis 3, and we're going to read verses 1 through 13. Amen. Genesis 3, beginning with verse number 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God said, you should not eat of the tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit from the tree of the garden, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you will not eat of it, nor will you touch it, or else you will die." Now let's stop here for a minute, and let's see what Eve is saying. It says, Eve saying, and she said to the serpent, you may not eat of it, nor will you touch it, or else you will die. Well, let's go back into Genesis chapter 2, and let's go to verse number 17. And it simply says this, "And God said, commanded the man, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." He never said anything about you couldn't touch it. He never said anything about you couldn't touch it. For number one, we see Eve was in error when she was speaking to the serpent. And let me say one thing, man. That's why you have to be very careful who you allow to talk to your lady when you're out, your wife. Because everybody doesn't have the best interests at heart for you or for your wife. Satan had no business talking to Eve. And Adam should have stopped that from the get-go. That's why I'm very careful. When me and Dr. Michelle goes out, I am very careful about who she talks with. And I'm astute to her conversation, what she says to people. Amen. I remember one time we used to live in Los Angeles, and I had to stop for some gas. And I pulled in the gas station, and I had to go inside to pay for the gas. And when I came out, there was a man talking to my wife. My wife had the door open, talking to some man with a can, asking her for some money. And I said, wait a minute. And I pulled up on her. I said, what is going on here? And my wife said, no, well, you know, he wanted some money for his guy. I said, no, he don't want any money for nothing. If he's going to talk to anybody, he's talking to me. He doesn't come to you. And I said, man, get away from my car and my wife. You know, he said, well, I just know you don't need anything. You need to get away from here. I don't allow just strange people to come up on my wife or me and talk to me, because I'm very careful what I hear, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And I had to correct my wife about that. Don't be opening no door, because there are a lot of people that Satan will try to use to harm us. Well, you know what, family? We just began a new teaching on disobedience, and I think you're going to really enjoy this teaching. But until then, please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It simply says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.